Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Some say there are hidden spirits that can guide our way through life. Among those who say so are dowsers, who are those who practice the ancient art of finding hidden answers with a forked stick, a pendulum, an L-rod. The hidden answer dowsers are most known for finding is the location of underground water. We can't see that water, but it's down there, maybe hundreds of feet below our feet. A good dowser can locate that water and tell how deep it is and even how much it flows. And so, if dowsers can employ their hidden spirits to find water, we simply must ask, what can dowsing tell us about the secret wisdom of ourselves? Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,152nd edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way over there in Lisbon who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, the West Coast dowsers are once again coming to my adopted hometown of Santa Cruz, California. Whenever they do, I try to grab one or two of them for a conversation about the hidden spirits they seem to have captured. My fascination with dowsing began with the simple fact that a dowser can find water flowing hundreds of feet below the surface of the land, and food grows where water flows. My fascination grew as I learned that dowsing can provide the answer to many other life questions. Here is one very small example. I was sitting in on a beginning dowser class with pendulum in hand when the instructor placed two cans of branded tamale sauce on the podium and said, "One of these cans has bad tomato tamale sauce. The other can contains good tamale sauce. Now, I want you to douse which can contains the good sauce." Well, after working over our pendulums for a few minutes, all but three in our class pointed to the one can as being the can that contained the good sauce, not knowing, of course, how we all came to that conclusion. But the instructor then held up that other can and, reading the label, proclaimed, "Says right here that this can of tamale sauce expired 7 years ago." So, if one can find water hidden hundreds of feet below the surface and identify the difference between good food and bad from across the room, we simply must ask, what can dowsing tell us about the wisdom of ourselves? And that's where we're going today, and we have a couple of guests with us. Start with Dick Tippett, who is with the West Coast Dowsers Association. Dick, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael.
Good to have you aboard. You're in charge of speakers for the West Coast Dowsers. Now, they're not all just dowsers, though, are they?
No, they aren't. There are many in science who are connected with the same types of energy that we work with the spiritual as well as science, and blend the two quite nicely.
And that's where we're going today, hopefully.
Yes.
Blending the two. How did you become involved in dowsing?
I was listening to a radio talk show, and the person putting on the show was interviewing a fellow who was talking about energetic healing, Harold McCoy, out of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I listened to this, and I said, I must learn this. And it was one of these instances where you call, you find out where he's teaching. You go, you take his class, he talks about more workshops. You go home to your wife, whose idea of roughing it is the Denver Hilton. And you go, darling, we're going to Little Rock, Arkansas. We're going to stay in a church campground, and we're going to learn about dowsing. And your wife goes, okay.
Uh-huh, there you are. And you went to that class, and now here you are.
Here I am.
So today I brought in one of the radio station's interns, Glacia, so that you could tell her what dowsing is. Now, Glacia is a senior at a college in Pennsylvania, Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania, and just spent 3 months in Cairo. So she's been around the world and knows a lot, but she does know nothing about dowsing. So how would you describe dowsing to this young lady?
Gracie, I suppose the easiest way to describe it is it's woman's intuition with a positive readout. We are all energy bodies, and we are connected to the energy field of the universe. And we have the ability through training to talk to that energy source and use tools such as pendulums and L rods and Y rods and bobbers to get information back. And it's a simple matter of training, and it's an activity that's been practiced for thousands of years.
And there you go. Glacia, does that make any sense?
Not so much.
Not so much. Okay. Maybe you can learn a little bit more as we go along here. Also with us today, we have Sandra Barrett, who is a Dr. Sandra Barrett, who has a very, very interesting background. So let's pick her up and bring her. She's with the Cellular Wisdom School. Dr. Barrett, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thanks, Michael, for having me here.
Good to have you. Now, does this dowsing business make any sense to you?
Absolutely.
You
absolutely
do. Okay.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Barrett, you have a very interesting background. You started out as a scientist, a cancer research scientist working for at University of California's Medical School in San Francisco, looking into the microscopes, right?
Right, exactly.
What did you see there when you looked into the mic?
Well, what I saw first was cells under the microscope that had an intelligence that I had no idea. I was trained as a biochemist and didn't think that cells had any, what can I say, any wisdom at all, but I saw that they knew how to go after molecules that were dangerous or bacteria. And then started photographing cells and molecules and began seeing the patterns in nature, which really inspired me to study a lot more about patterns of healing, since I was working with children with cancer and leukemia and wanting to know what actually makes a difference between someone who heals and someone who doesn't.
Oh.
And could we objectify it? Yeah.
Now, is this wisdom of cells that you speak of pretty much the same thing Dick Tippett is talking about with respect to the patterns in the energy fields of the universe?
Well, I think they're related. I don't necessarily think they're the same, because when I talk more about the cellular wisdom, a lot of that can be actually measured and tangible. And since we can't really measure intuition or the energy of the universe, a lot of people tend to doubt the power of that. So I talk more about the tangible intelligence and wisdom of the cell, and where it comes together is how do we tune into that. That's where it connects what Dick's talking about.
Okay. And Dick uses as his tool a pendulum. You use as one of your principal tools a camera. So it would seem like you're very much the objectifier, right? You're taking pictures of real things that are happening.
Yes, and you have to have a belief. You know, it's like when you're a photographer using a camera, you photograph what tells the story. And so I'm telling the story that probably is based on my intuition as well as science.
Oh, so then it does make a connection there, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there is no way, though, to objectify the power of the intuition. I mean, you can't take a picture of it, can't measure it with any machine, can you?
Well, Dean Radin at the Institute of Noetic Science is doing a lot of measurements on intuition and psychic knowledge. So people are beginning on the edges of science to be able to measure that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you made this transition from being a scientist to being kind of an artist, did your contemporaries look at you as if you went to the dark side?
They definitely looked at me like I went to some other side.
Some other side?
Well, I know when I started photographing vitamins and minerals, I was using them in my lab, I remember colleagues saying, stop doing holistic science. That was in the 70s, 80s. So,
and yes, here you are. You're still doing holistic science. Okay, yes. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. And today we're diving into the world of hidden spirits, I guess, with dowsers.
We're on the farm with Joel Salatin.
Would you like to buy homemade soup, backyard chicken, and the neighbor's artisanal lunch meat? The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund protects your right to acquire the food of your choice from the source of your choice. I'm Joel Salatin from Polyface Farm, and I urge you to defend the right of neighbors to engage in direct food commerce. Join today at farmtoconsumer.org. The food of your choice from the source of your choice. That's farmtoconsumer.org. Farmtoconsumer.org. Thank you.
When you buy local American-grown flowers, flowers will grow and flourish in America. Hello, I'm Deborah Prinzing, author of Slow Flowers for Certified American-Grown Flowers. When you buy local flowers, you're helping our country's family farms reduce the transportation footprint of flowers and enjoy fresher, longer-lasting bouquets. So please, next time you shop for flowers, think local. Think Certified American-Grown Flowers. Visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org to learn more.
You can dream it, build it, own it, Metro Farm it. You can sow it, feed it, grow it, Metro Farm it. Ah, you can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it, Metro Farm it.
Learn how to dream it, build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it, Metro Farm it. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it, earn it, own it, Metro Farm it.
Oh, learn it, do it, earn it, Metro Farm it. Dream it, build it, own it. It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Do you believe it? I was very, very skeptical of the whole notion of being able to use a pendulum or an L-rod or a forked willow branch to find the answer to questions. But I started to take a class or two, and it was like magic. And I'll never forget the moment that my daughter was taking the class with me, and she was told to do a very simple experiment with the pendulum, and the power of the answer just bowled her over, and it frightened her, the extent to which she realized what was involved here. It actually frightened her. Does it ever frighten you, Dick Tippett?
It did when I first got involved, Michael. It scared me silly because it was a case of, my God, I really can find this stuff out. I really can learn it. It's really true. There's really water down there at 120 feet. That's the most stunning thing is when you first douse a well or you're with somebody who douses a well, and then the well is drilled and the water is right there where you said it was. It's one of the most stunning discoveries you can make as a human being, I think.
Now, is the tool that you use, you have a pendulum here, is that the magic, or is that just a way of managing yourself?
It's a way of managing yourself. The technical way dowsing works is that you ask the universe a question. The universe replies with a very minute, measurable electrical impulse, which causes your quick response muscles to twitch, And in return, that moves the tool either into a yes or no or go in this direction position. I mean, that's the simple technical side of it.
Well, Dr. Barrett, you don't have a pendulum, but you use a camera. Same, is the principle apply?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that, Michael, because I know when I use the camera on the microscope, I'm photographing as if I was out in the landscape someplace.
Sure, sure.
But maybe it's my intuition that tells me what to photograph.
How do you manage your intuition? Now, I know that dowsers manage their intuition with questions. You know, isn't that right, Dick? You have to ask specific questions as a dowser. And before you even douse, you have to ask permission, right?
Yes.
And you have three questions there?
Can I douse? May I douse? Should I douse? To find out what you want to know.
Okay.
And it's basically just a means of focusing yourself, clarifying what it is you want to find out. I mean, dowsing is very much intuition with a positive readout through the tools. Okay. Hers is through the camera lens.
So do you manage, when you're working those images of cells and molecules, do you kind of manage your thoughts along those same lines? Do you ask yourself questions, Doctor?
I never have. I just enter into the, what is it going to show me? And how will I not bias what I choose?
Uh-huh. Isn't it?
So I'm more open-minded. I've never tried dowsing before using the camera, so that's a whole new idea.
Away we go. Who knows where this one will take us, right?
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Then take us then to your photography. You started working with cells, correct?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And you were working specifically with cancer cells and comparing them with non-cancerous cells, correct?
Correct.
What did you see?
Yeah. Well, when I was basically focused on cancers of the blood cells, leukemia and lymphoma. And what I noticed was that there was an amazing disorder or chaos in the way the cells looked that were cancers, that were leukemia cells. And that was one of those aha moments when I thought, oh, well, here they look chaotic compared to normal cells, and they create chaos in the body, and they create chaos in the family. Can we turn that around? Was one of the questions I was asking as a research scientist. And can we use it to help diagnose and choose treatments?
Mm-hmm. So you're asking very specific questions then?
Very specific, measurable. I mean, when I started doing, when I was a cancer scientist, I would have called all of this, what we're talking about today, woo-woo. Mm-hmm. I had no beliefs in anything other than what was measurable.
What was the moment when the apple fell on your head?
I think it's still falling on my head. I think one of the moments was certainly seeing living cells under the microscope. And another was just seeing that most of the research I was doing or training physicians in my lab, we would see who was going to go into remission and who wouldn't. And the apple fell when all the biological measurements of a certain woman told us that she shouldn't have gone into remission. She wasn't getting treatment anymore. And she lived for two more years with no treatment. And so I got into this apple bounce that said, how is it possible that she's not responding to treatment, all the biological measurements say she's going to die within weeks or months, and she didn't. So it was like, this does not fit the Western medical model.
Not specifically measurable, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we had all the measurements, but she wasn't going by them. She wasn't listening to the medical measurements.
Wow.
She had another, you know, story to tell with her cells and life.
And what happened when that apple did hit you on the head and you realized that the real answers aren't necessarily quantifiable as in the way that you have been trained to quantify them?
Well, one of the things I started doing was I started studying with a shaman.
Oh, now that's really getting scary, right?
Yeah, you bet.
That's really getting scary.
Yeah, it's like, what are other ways of knowing, you know, beside the intellect? And, you know, that was definitely a couple apples on the way. And the other, I mean, to go back to the camera, the other was, since I was photographing cells under the microscope and the lab was down the street from the Science Museum in Golden Gate Park, I had taken a break and went to see an exhibit of chemicals of the brain. I'd never seen chemicals under the microscope. And chemicals of the brain, photographed with the same kind of microscope and camera I had, were beautiful.
Beautiful?
Absolutely beautiful abstract art. And that was a surprise, because to me, chemicals were, you know, stick figures in books or chemical or powders on a shelf. So I went back to my lab and started photographing the chemicals of life and seeing patterns again that seemed to tell stories of how the molecules worked, or what my intuition was telling me about it.
Ah, now, yeah. So you're taking pictures of molecules and seeing in them extraordinary beauty and patterns. But what on earth did your contemporaries say that you were doing as you were running up and down the hall saying, look at this, look at this. And they're saying, this doesn't make any sense. This isn't quantifiable. This is totally heading in a different direction. And I guess, folks, that's the different direction we're talking about today on the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, your host. We have Dick Tippett with the West Coast Dowsers Association. We have Dr. Sandra Barrett, Cellular Wisdom School. And we have you. When we get back, we're going to continue our pursuit of those hidden spirits that can tell us so much. Right back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
It is possible to look way down into the earth and see water flowing. You can even see how far down into the earth it is. And you can see how much water is flowing. Dick Tippett, West Coast Dowsers Association, you were telling me about a fellow dowser who found water at 1,800 feet?
He actually was deeper than that, Michael, but yes, they drilled the well to 1,830 feet. The biggest trick was keeping the bit going straight down because the soil's not homogeneous.
Right.
But yes, they found water that deep. He managed, the flow was only 5 gallons a minute, and he was able to pick it up and detect it, and he wasn't sure that he'd found it himself, so he brought two friends down, and they all confirmed exactly what he'd found within about 6 feet.
So that's a long way to go to get water.
It really is. This is down in Arizona,
where there isn't much. Sandra.
Yes.
How do you come back to the scientists with photographs? What did they say?
Well, one of my colleagues, can I say, he said, looks like you're really struggling to become an artist. And that had always been, as when I was growing up, I drew science. That's how I learned biochemistry. I would have to draw it. It was a kinesthetic experience. And drawing and painting was really important to me growing up. So I realized this was an old wish of mine to become an artist. So a colleague of mine had set me up, believe it or not, with Sterling Vineyard. He had seen all the beauty I had photographed of molecules, and Sterling Vineyards at that time had an artist-in-residence program. And so, I mean, talking about leaping off the page, I had an interview with the winemaker and the tasting room director and decided to photograph my first wine because all I had were photographs of cells and molecules. I didn't think that would make enough for an exhibit.
So, and wait a minute. When you talk about photographing wine, what do? Put a glass of wine on the table and take a picture of it? Is that what you're talking about?
No, what I'm talking about is putting drops of wine on a microscope slide and letting the water and alcohol evaporate and seeing what patterns are created. I mean, there are expressions in wine that are unbelievable, much prettier to me than cells. And so when I photographed that first wine, which was a Sterling, a Merlot, actually,
yeah,
the winemaker said, it looks like it tasted.
Wow.
So I had 2 years to prepare for a show, and that took me to a whole other direction, obviously.
Mm-hmm. But not really, right?
Wine.
Not really.
Not really. Exactly.
I mean, you were a scientist. You were studying cancer cells. You were photographing them, and you were discovering the patterns in those cells. And those patterns were telling you a lot about what was going on with the cells. And it was really, they weren't telling you, they were telling your intuition. They were kind of opening you up to listening to them. Is that a fair way of putting it? Were you actually listening to what you were seeing?
Yeah, I would say yes, I was listening to that and to them. But in the wine world, I was struggling with wearing the hat as a scientist rather than someone who is looking into the the sensory wisdom or the sensory expressions of wine. And that's so much more subjective than cells.
Ah. And subjective really is the heart of dowsing, is it not, Dick?
That's a tough one to answer, Michael, because the results of dowsing are very much, particularly water and mineral dowsing.
Right, right. Concrete, and
medical dowsing, they're very much measurable. You know, it can be once you've learned to do that and differentiate the real from the fluff, a lot of what dowsers do is measurable.
Well, in that respect, you know, when you're looking at the patterns in wine, I mean, that's pretty measurable too.
It would seem, but she brought it up. She looked at the molecule of Merlot and said, the winemaker, my God, it looks exactly like it tastes.
Sandra?
So how we experience, I mean, now that I've photographed probably thousands of wines since the 80s when I started this, taste is really subjective. So what the winemaker experienced as that's what his wine tasted like, someone else, you and I, might say, no, that wine tasted awful or angular or sharp. Doesn't represent that picture. And so in more recent years, I used to think I was photographing the taste of wine. And now I have to realize that our experience of taste is so subjective, psychological, where we are, who we're with, what we're eating with the wine. It's although since you're interested in farming and growing, one of the interesting things that happened with all of this when I photograph biodynamic wines.
Right. Okay, good.
Wines grown biodynamically. Many red wines express hearts. That was a shock.
Expressed what?
Expressed hearts through the microscope.
You mean you could see wines grown biodynamically, which is probably as close to the earth as you could get, you know, biodynamic growing. So when you take that wine and you let the water evaporate and the alcohol evaporate, what you saw was hearts?
Was hearts. And since I had apprenticed to a biodynamic farm many years ago, my intuition said, well, maybe they're expressing hearts because it shows how much the grower loved the land and were spiritually connected. I know that sounds a little out there.
Yeah, right now your scientists at UCSF are throwing things at the wall, right? Because
by then I had left. I had
you're long since gone.
Yes.
And yet here you are, still looking at cells. What wisdom is there in a cell? We're gonna have to take a break here in just a little while, but I'd like to approach that question next. What wisdom is there in a cell that from which we can learn things, or can we? Does it take that woman's intuition to find that knowledge, or can we use a pendulum or an L rod or something? This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson, having some fun with our friends from the dowsing community and the spiritual community, talking about biodynamic wines and how you can find hearts. Oh my goodness! But what else could you? Where else could you find this? We will be right back. Hang in there for a lot of fun.
And now more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, you know, the breaks are a lot of fun when you're sitting here waiting for the important messages to roll. Then all kinds of things pop up really quickly, and one of them popped up from Dick with a question. What was the question? Who was the person you referred to?
Oh, Masaru Emoto.
Masaru Emoto, Japanese.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
Masaru had an idea, perhaps, that water could be programmed with thoughts or with energy and with messages. And he struggled with how to do this. And it came to him at some point that if he took the water down to near freezing and then posted a message on it of what, on the bottle that the water was in, of what he wanted that water to illustrate, perhaps he would get a result. So he did that, and he posted messages in Japanese of love and friendship and caring. And as the water froze, it formed some of the most beautiful crystals you have ever seen. And he photographed them. And then he said, all right, let's see if what the water's response is if I post dark and unpleasant and nasty things on the bottle as it goes to freeze. So he did that. And the crystals that formed when those messages were posted on the bottle were deformed and irregular and in some cases not much more than blobs. And so he published this. He took the photographs and he published his information, and the world basically said, oh, this is hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
So three other people duplicated his experiments and came back and said, this is not hogwash.
And is that the wisdom that you see in cells, Dr. Sandra?
Well, what I thought the power of Emoto's work was, he was telling us through using these images through the microscope, he was telling us that we influence the water in our body, that we influence basically our cells in the body. And I think that was the power, because until he published this, and here's where I'm a doubter. I'm not sure of all the science behind it, but it gave us the understanding, it popularized the understanding that what I think influences my body. And I don't think we really, I mean, mind-body is pretty new in Western thought, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And that's real. I mean, so when we take it to ourselves, I say, you know, our cells are always in the now. Meaning that if we go into worry or danger or making something up, pretending or love, that changes the chemistry of the body. That changes the energy of the body, and that influences the cells. So if we can just keep in mind, our cells are in the now, and the only thing that takes them out into to someplace else is what we're thinking. So Emoto's work would support that.
Yeah.
Because of the thoughts affect water. We're 70% water in our body. But beyond that, our thoughts affect our chemistry.
And that takes us back to the questions you must ask before you douse. Can I?
May I?
May I?
Should
I? And that's really a way of tuning in your thoughts, right?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
So what you're paying attention to is something that can be. You know, we have Gressy here who's going, I don't believe this. What kind of practical answers can you track down with your pendulum, Dick?
Once I've asked those questions, Michael, can I, may I, should I, and I have positive answers to all three, there's no limit to things that I can find out in the present or in the past. The future is a little bit more difficult because the future is mutable. Mm-hmm. It's exactly as she is describing. You know, our thoughts influence ourselves.
So then you can't get the lottery number right.
There are supposed to be tricks to it. I will admit that I have tried, uh-huh. And the future is mutable. The future will change because, as our guest has said, our thoughts affect ourselves.
All right.
Our thoughts affect the universe beyond our cellular structure.
So, tell Gracia what kind of. I mean, I know you. I was talking with you on the phone, and you were in the grocery store.
Yes. A lot of time, well, classic example, I prefer organic food for obvious reasons. And I will go to a grocery store and douse whether or not this food is truly organic, is truly mostly herbicide and pesticide free, and is it good and healthy for me to eat? I mean, your illustration of your two cans. And the sorting process is immediate. You know, yes, it's good, or no, it's not good. And what's very interesting is to walk into a health food store or an organic food store and douse, is that orange really organic? And have the pendulum go, no, it's not. Go to that pile over there.
So you can actually learn very practical day-to-day information, the answers to very, very important questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dowsing.
Can it teach you to find the right dentist? If you're new in town,
it can do that. You can take a look.
That was one of our instructors. He said, this is how I found the right dentist. I moved into a new town, opened up the yellow pages, and took out my pendulum, and I went through the list of dentists, and I found the right one.
Yes, you can do that.
Simple as that.
I did the same thing. I needed glasses. And I doused, okay, which optometrist will give me the best service? Which one is it in my eyes and best interest to use? And did very well.
Okay, quick break, right back for some more fun dowsing. Do stay tuned.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are talking about the hidden spirits and how to get in touch with them and have them answer questions for us. And I guess it's pretty much as simple as that. Is that fair enough to say, Dick?
It is indeed.
We're talking about hidden spirits. Dr. Sandra Barrett, you talk about the hidden wisdom of cells. Same thing?
In certain ways.
Definitely. In certain ways it is.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And we're talking about the impact of how we think on our bodies. And how it's been demonstrated that when you think well, you tend to get well or be well. And if you think poorly, your body tends to respond in the same way. Do you see that when you're looking into the microscope, Dr. Barrett?
I don't see that under the microscope. I've actually moved away from looking at cells under the microscope and working more with individuals and groups and teaching them how do our cells work that we can tune into. And one of the most exciting things for me as a scientist was discovering that other scientists had found structures in our cells that respond to energy, that respond to sound, that respond to movement. It's a tangible part of our architecture called the cytoskeleton.
Yes.
The microtubules, strings, filaments. And if we hum or we chant or we sing or we're holding good thoughts, we have a certain energy body, certain resonance going on within ourselves and our thoughts that influence our well-being. And now we see a whole body of research on the power of sound, the power of practices like Qigong and Tai Chi that influence our well-being. And they're operating on frequencies, if you will, that now we know can affect us at a cellular level. I mean, thoughts, what are thoughts energy? What is thought energy? Can we measure it? Not really, except in how it affects the body.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like what you're saying is that the human body is almost like the pendulum and almost like the L rod in that if we listen to it, if we let it take charge, it will tell us where to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have many students who listen to their cells. Sometimes I can, but not always. I think it's like a learning a practice like dowsing or swimming. You really have to practice every day. And like I say, some of my students will really listen to what their cells have to say. I will do it on occasion. Do you listen to yourself?
I don't know, but I'm listening to you and enjoying it. I just want to, we have just so little time left, but quickly, West Coast Dowsers Association, how do we get in touch with you?
Best way to reach us is through our website because there's a ton of information there. And the website is www.dowserswestcoast.org.
And Sandra, how do we get in touch with you?
Website, Sandra, S-O-N-D-R-A, Barrett.com. Two R's and two T's.
And there you go. What fun.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, pick up a pendulum and ask it some questions. Who knows where it might take you? Thank you for tuning in. The Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain radio show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.